Hear the words of the prophet Isaiah. But there will be no gloom for those who were in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the latter time, he will make glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You've multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken. As on the day of Midian, all the boots of the tramping warriors, all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born unto us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall do this. Amen.
Today marks the beginning of Advent. And if you are listening to the children's time, you already know that that word means coming. God's coming. Coming to be with us. Emmanuel, in the birth of Jesus. The church sets aside these four Sundays as a time to intentionally wait for Jesus to come, to pay attention to where and what in our lives and in our world is most in need of saving, most in need of grace, most in need of love. And then to notice how we might invite some light into that darkness, how we might make a little room for Christ to be born again and again and again within and among us. These are days set aside for patience and hope, but not for idleness. The world, the culture, will tell you that there is much to do. Cards to send, presents to buy and wrap, parties to attend or host, and there is so much food to make. But the sacred invitation of this season is to do the work of hopeful expecting, to light candles, to wonder at new life and the stubborn ways it keeps showing up, to sing, to be grateful, to create more space in your heart and maybe even in your home, to let yourself be awestruck by the power of love, how it grows, how it spreads. To see the courage of a young, vulnerable woman taking on the powers of empire. And maybe to be inspired to do a little empire busting yourself. To proclaim good news to everyone you meet. And to dare to trust that in spite of any and all evidence to the contrary, Emmanuel, God with us, has come and will come again and again and again. The people who have walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who live in deep darkness, on them, light has shined. The prophet Isaiah's words were originally spoken to a people in the midst of national turmoil. They could practically hear the drumbeat of an invading army. They were doing some soul searching in the midst of this potential onslaught as they wrestled with whether they should be putting their trust in God or whether they should be putting their trust in political partners and a broken governmental system where morality, loyalty, honest, and integrity seemed all but non-existent. They did not feel secure in this world. There was panic about food. There was panic about money and the economy. A darkening despair was taking root. As we begin our Advent series, where we match our weeks and our scripture readings with spirituals, we do not have to wonder about the despair that gave birth to these pieces of music. Sung by African American slaves, the spirituals are all at once proclamation, protest, and praise. The brutality of slavery and its effects even today continue to grip us. And yet, somehow, these songs bring hope in the midst of deep helplessness. While our darkness is different, even we are a people who know despair. We know that the world is still unjust. People are still enslaved. The armies of violence continue their drumbeat around us. We are not secure. We know that even in this room, there are people walking in darkness, the darkness of addiction, grief, chronic pain, the abuse of creation, death, and hopelessness. The people, then and now, long for things to be different. We want something else. We want for God to act. We want for things to change. And so the cry for a shepherd to rise up echoes down through the years. The people who have walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who live in deep darkness, on them light has shined. The text is a bold proclamation before anything has even happened. It is a bold proclamation, a joyous declaration, Tom Long says, of God's enduring intention to save God's people in distress. We are not abandoned to darkness. God is at work in ways as hidden and seemingly weak as a newborn. This is how God works, the scripture said. God responds to the people's cry like this: for a child has been born, a son given to us. The advent of Jesus, the birth of Emmanuel, of God with us, it is not a quick fix. Isaiah does not cast a vision of a parent swooping in to take care of everything, fixing all that is broken, cleaning up all the messes that we create, making everything right in one mighty act. No. A child is born. An opportunity. A possibility for relationship, for growth, for something new. We begin this season in expectation, with hope. But the scripture wants to make clear that our expectations are centered on a God who comes as a vulnerable child. God's peace and wholeness, God's shalom, comes in connection to a baby, in connection to humanity, to grace and forgiveness and new life. What we will find on Christmas morning is not that all the challenges are behind us, but that, as Jeffrey O'Harry says, the conditions for newness of life are upon and among us. Hear it again. The conditions for newness of life are upon and among us. Light is breaking in and growing because of this child. He is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and his authority shall grow continually. The presence of this one that Isaiah is introducing to us, it is both personal and societal. God is as powerful as a prince concerned with just societies and fair treatment of the marginalized, and is as personal as a father or a counselor, intimately acquainted with our grief and our longing. What begins small will grow continually, so that the light can shine both on our world, our culture, and also in our lives. Dawn is breaking. The shepherding God is rising. But if the God being revealed in Isaiah is not coming, is not rising up to immediately fix it all, to end all that is wrong, if God is coming as a baby, then we have a greater role to play in this story than simply waiting to welcome the light. Knowing this may help us to hear the crying out of the people differently. The people in the book of Isaiah looked around them and longed for something else, longed for a political reality, for a different political reality, longed for a more just society, and they cried out to God to make it happen. The people to whom Luke wrote, those living in an occupied territory in the land of Judea, in and around Bethlehem, those Israelites cried out to God to change their lives. People singing the spirituals cried out, "Rise up, Shepherd God," as they longed for their oppression to end. People today, people around us, we look at the world and our lives and we long for light too, for a society that cares for the marginalized, for a world where love is more fully known, for a peace that looks like wholeness, rooted in forgiveness and grace, and in the ever-present possibility of a new start. The cry for the shepherd to rise up echoes down through the years. But it is a double cry. It is both a call to God and a call to us. Rise up, Shepherd God. And rise up, you shepherds, and follow. God comes as a baby, as a child who will grow, who will grow in authority. And so our call becomes a call to nurture, to build relationship, to participate in what God is doing. We are not meant to be idle or to be passive, as if our whole role in the Christmas story, as if our whole role in this world-changing, power-flipping, justice-bringing, newness-of-life reality were to sit back and watch it happen. We are in it. We must rise up and follow. We must rise up and follow this shalom bringing God into something new. Luke Powery says, Christ's birth touches the earth. It touches you. This is where the shepherds come in. This is where you come in. If Christ was born and nothing ever changed on earth, what would be the point of his coming? The shepherds, those of us who know the good news about this child, we must respond. We are the ones who must rise up and follow. The people. The people who have walked in darkness have seen a great light. The people who walked in deep darkness, on them light has shined. So rise up, shepherds. It's time to follow. Amen.